May the Lord help us to commence our service this evening by singing hymn 1062. King of kings and Lord of lords, these are great and awful words. 'Tis to Jesus they belong. Let his people raise their song. 1062.
Two portions, it's again from the Holy Word of God. I'd like us to read together this evening. Our first reading is from the Gospel according to Luke. I'd like us to read together the 24th chapter. And our second reading is the first chapter in the Revelation of St. John the Divine. Two readings. Our first reading is from Luke's Gospel, or the Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter. And our second from the Book of the Revelation of St. John the Divine, the first chapter. So Luke chapter 24. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which is from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all those things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women, also of our company, made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. They constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. and he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. And all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, when he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Let's now turn to the revelation of St. John the Divine. I'd like us to read together the first chapter. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame in fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth were a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. When I said to him, I fell at his feet, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and of the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven altars are the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. May the Lord bless unto us the reading of his holy word, and may he help each of us once more in prayer. Great, almighty Lord God, once again we would come before thee in this attitude of prayer. O Lord, we thank thee, Lord, that we have prayer. We thank thee, Lord, that we're able to approach unto thee in prayer. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art a prayer-hearing God. But, Lord, thou art so much more than that. It's a mercy, Lord, that thou dost hear the prayers of thy people, the prayers of the destitute, those prayers, Lord, that thou wilt not despise. But, Lord, thou art more than just a prayer-hearing God. Thou art a prayer-answering God. We thank thee, Lord, for thy many mercies, the many things thou hast provided for us in this time stay, but thou knowest, Lord, what each of us we stand in need of better than we do ourselves. Lord, we need a saviour. Lord, we're great sinners. Some of us, Lord, have felt to be like the chiefest of sinners. Some of us have felt to be 500 pence debtors. O Lord, in and of ourselves, there's no good thing. But, O Lord, the way of salvation, beyond a poor sinner's comprehension, that thou, Lord, entered into that covenant, ordered in all things and sure before time began, that thou did choose a people that no man can number, that number amongst all nations, kindreds, peoples and tongues, Lord, thou did choose sinners. Thou knewest exactly what they would be like. Thou knewest what we would be like. Thou knewest, Lord, the sins that we would commit. For, Lord, thou knowest everything about us. We stand before thee, as we said this morning, naked before thee. Thou seest us through and through. Thou seest, Lord, even the secret things of our heart, the thoughts and intents that we keep from each other, the secret motives, Lord, they're all revealed before thee. Thou searchest us, Lord. Oh, search me, try my heart. And if there be any wicked way, lead me in the way everlasting, Lord. Do, Lord, Lord, forgive our sins. Forgive our transgressions. That's what we need, Lord. And that's what we will beseech of thee in prayer, that thou would assure each of us of our calling and election, that thou would assure each of us that we are amongst thy people, that thou would assure each of us that our names are in that Lamb's Book of Life, Lord. We pray for the youngest to the eldest. We'd leave none out, Lord. That, Lord, we pray that each of us might have those tokens and evidences that we're not deceived, that we're not, Lord, cast away, but, Lord, we're amongst thy people, that thou hast graven us on the palms of thy hand, that thou hast suffered, bled, and died for us. Nay, rose again for our justification. And through that sacrifice once made for sin, we're made acceptable in thy sight, Lord. That's what we need, Lord, a saviour, Lord. And what a saviour thou did provide for thy people, the Son of God, co-equal, co-eternal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, what a way of salvation beyond man's comprehension, beyond man's understanding. Lord, thou knewest, Lord, our lost and ruined condition. Thou knewest what we needed even before the world began. And, Lord, thou hast provided it, provided for thy people a saviour, a propitiation, one who's paid the price that we cannot pay. The one, the atonement, Lord, a precious Lord and saviour. Lord, make him more precious to each of us. Make him, Lord, precious in the want of him. Make him precious in the possession of him. May, Lord, we each feast upon a precious Christ. May he be the sum and substance of our religion. Lord, we've got nothing, nothing in and of ourselves to plead before thee. All our righteousness is as filthy rags, but we would plead a precious Christ, that he is seen instead of us, that mediator that stands between God and man, the day's man, the one that stands in between. Oh, Lord, we thank thee that we have a mediator. We thank thee, Lord, that our poor prayers, and how poor they are, this sinner feels them so carnal, so repetitive. But, Lord, there is that one, a precious Christ, the intercessor in heaven. Oh, Lord, we thank thee, Lord, that he is seen instead of us when we approach to God. Lord, we feel our unworthiness. We feel our insufficiency. We feel our sinfulness. How can we approach to a thrice holy God in and of ourselves? We cannot, Lord, nor would we. Thou art a consuming fire, but we would trust in a precious Christ. We trust, Lord, in him and him alone. May he be the sum and substance of our religion, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. May he be everything, Lord. May we be nothing. Lord, we are nothing. May we truly feel our insignificance before thee. Lord, worms. Worms of the earth, Lord, crawling along. Oh, Lord, but we must come. And we have to come. And we will come in faith. Oh, Lord, may we have more faith. May we have greater faith. May, Lord, we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. May we know more of him. May we be made more like he is, less like we are. Oh, Lord, prepare each of us, Lord, to be with thee. Work mightily inside us. Lord, some of us are very rough stones. Some of us need a lot of chipping away, Lord. Some of us need a lot of preparation for heaven. But, Lord, what a mercy it is. What a great mercy it is that thou dost have mercy upon thy people, that thou, Lord, dost work mightily in them, that thou, Lord, dost prepare even the chiefest of sinners to be with thee, which is far better. And may we be found amongst that prepared people to go to a prepared place. Do, Lord, work mightily inside each of us. Do, Lord, we need more of thy spirit, Lord. We need more of thy gracious presence. Less of ourselves, Lord. Less of ourselves and more of thee. We need to decrease, Lord. Thou need to increase. Oh, Lord, may thou increase in our heart. May that be the rule and overrule. May that, Lord, be the one thing in our heart, Lord. That one thing needful. Oh, Lord, may each of us have that greater union with thee. Lord, well, we don't deserve the least of thy mercies, Lord. We tried to speak of that this morning. We deserve nothing from thy good and gracious hand. We're sinners. In and of ourselves, we deserve thy condemnation. Our just deserts, Lord, would be a never-ending eternity in hell. That's what we've earned. Ah, oh, but Lord, we have a hope. And what a mercy it is to have a precious hope that, Lord, thou hast suffered, bled, and died for us. But, Lord, don't leave us in a hope. Assure each of us. Assure us, Lord, that we're amongst thy people. That, Lord, we're amongst those that worship thee. Oh, Lord, how short our worship comes. How short my worship comes. Oh, Lord, we make it personal, Lord. How short I come in the things of God. But, Lord, may we each grow. We need to grow. May we grow, Lord, more like thee. Oh, Lord, prepare us, we pray. Prepare us. Do, Lord, be with each of thy people. Once again, we will bear them before thee. We particularly think of those at this time that are afflicted, those, Lord, that are, well, mysterious afflictions, Lord. We think of those that have got the virus, Lord. Thy judgments that are abroad in the nations and of the world and throughout our own nation, Lord, we pray, Lord, that those that are afflicted, they might be raised from a bed of affliction, if it is thy will, that thou would raise them up to a measure of health and strength. We think of those, Lord, that have got other afflictions, not just the virus, Lord, those that have got other afflictions, perhaps, Lord, that have, in terms of what the medical profession to do, they've been put on hold because of this virus, Lord. But thou knowest what a mercy it is. What a mercy it is to thy people. They know that thou art in control, Lord. Thou knowest everything about us. Thou knowest the minutest circumstances of our lives. Nothing in our lives comes in by chance. There's no such thing as chance, luck, or coincidence. Everything that happens in our lives, whether it be affliction, whether it be a loss, whether it be a cross, whether it be trials or tribulations, they all come, Lord, through thy hand or thy permissive hand. Lord, oh Lord, may we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. May, Lord, we decrease. May, Lord, we prove, Lord, though, that thy grace is sufficient. And may we prove that everything that comes into our lives amongst the all things, those all things that work together good to those that love thee, to those who are called according to thy purpose, Lord. All things, Lord, we know, Lord, it may not be to all things in this world, but all things will work together for good of thy people, to make them the fit for heaven. Do, Lord, grant that the many things that thou seest fit to bring in our lives or allow to come in might be for our teaching. Lord, some of us are stubborn. We're so stubborn. We're so slow to learn. Lord, teach us. Teach us, Lord, what we are before thee. Nothing. Worthless. Black. Insignificant. Sinners. Teach us what we are, Lord. Teach us, Lord, that we have no strength in and of ourselves. Teach us, Lord, what thou art, though. The Saviour of sinners. Teach us, Lord. Teach us, Lord, that thou art our strength, our refuge, our sufficiency, our strong tower, our rock. Oh, Lord, thou art everything. And we're nothing. Teach us that, Lord. And may we learn it. May we learn it. Teach us to profit, Lord. May we profit by the things that come into our lives. The things, Lord, that happen to us. The many circumstances. Lord, and we go back to what we started. Lord, prayer. What a privilege prayer is. Lord, when we have trials, when we have tribulations, when we have those things that are too heavy for us. Oh, Lord, what a mercy it is to be able to pray about them. How short this sinner comes like that, Lord. How short, Lord. We shouldn't look to ourselves. We shouldn't look to each other. Lord, we thank thee for help that's provided by others. But, Lord, we shouldn't look to ourselves. We shouldn't look to each other. Shouldn't look to the world. It should be to Jesus Christ. He should be the first that we turn to in prayer. We should be constant or always in prayer. And how short I come in that, Lord. Do grant unto us, Lord, that we might bring everything to thee in prayer, that we might cast all our burdens, cares and concerns upon thee and prove, yes, Lord, prove that thou carest for us. Do, Lord, be with each that have got burdens, the afflicted, Lord, the bereaved, the elderly, those that are walking a pathway of loneliness. May each cast their burdens upon thee, Lord. We pray for those, Lord, that mourn at this time. Do, Lord, grant thy gracious presence. Do, Lord, make up in their loss, Lord. Do, Lord, be in the midst, we pray. Do, Lord, uphold. And do, Lord, fill up the breaches. Thou, Lord, thy people, Lord, have been taken to be with thee, which is far better. We'd not wish them back, Lord. They're done with this veil of tears, this place of woe, this place of tribulation. They're in a perfect place with a perfect Saviour. We'd not wish them back, Lord. No. In fact, Lord, we wish to follow them. We wish to be with Christ, which is far better. May that be the desire of each of us, to be with thee in heaven, Lord. But, Lord, we would pray for those that mourn. Lord, grant that they might not mourn as others, those of thy people that are taken, Lord. They've gone to a much better place, a holy place, a perfect place, to be with the thrice holy God, a perfect Saviour. What a perfect place. But, Lord, do be with those that mourn. Grant them thy presence. Do be with thee. Young and rising generation, keep them, Lord, as the apple of thine eye. Raise them up, Lord, to fill the breaches on the walls of Zion, Lord. Keep them close to thee, close to thy people, close to thy word, Lord. These are difficult and troublous times in which we live. Lord, not just because of the virus, but the many things that the children come into contact with, the social media, the drugs that seem to be so much abroad. Lord, keep them from it. Do, Lord, grant wise counsel unto parents and grandparents that they might train up the children, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Lord, grant they right and proper example might be set, and the young and rising generation might be spared, might be kept by thee, and might be brought to know thee, Lord. Do, Lord, work mightily while young in years. Save them, Lord, from going off into the world. Lord, we think of the prodigal, how, Lord, he left his father's house, but spent that substance with riotous living out in the world. Ah, oh, but Lord, he was a blessed character because he was brought back. He was brought back to that time of want, that time of destitution, where he would fain would eat the husk that he fed to the swine. And then he remembered. He remembered his father's house and he had to return. Oh, Lord, we pray for the prodigals, those, Lord, that have left the causes of truth, those that have left where thy name is faithfully preached. Lord, is this virus the time of need? Is it the time of want? Oh, Lord, grant that prodigals might return. And Lord, what a welcome they had. What a wonderful welcome they had, Lord. The prodigal, he had the fatted calf, the ring, and so many other things, Lord. What a welcome. Do, Lord, work mightily, Lord. Again, we think of this virus that's abroad in our nation. Use it, Lord. Use it to thy praise, thine honour, and thy glory. It is thy judgments upon us as individuals, us as a denomination, us as a nation and the world. How, Lord, well, may we search and try our hearts. Is it my sins? Is it my transgressions? Is it my worldliness? Is it my taking so much for granted, Lord? Oh, thou knowest. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Have mercy upon us individually, collectively. And do, Lord, if it's thy will, stop this virus. Lord, our government looks to scientists. They can't do it. We thank thee, Lord, for what scientists can do in the medical profession when it's blessed by thee, Lord. But only thou canst do it, Lord. May they look to thee, Lord. And again, we think of our Prime Minister. We think of those in authority over us, Lord, and how it mourns this sinner that there's no mention of God. There's no mention of thy judgments. There's no mention of the need of mercy. Oh, Lord, hear us, Lord, as we sigh and cry for the abominations that are done in this land. How, Lord, the many abortions that happen. How our government seems to be intent on making divorce easier, but marriage harder, Lord. And how, Lord, they seem to be the most important thing in their lives, seem to be commerce, money. Oh, Lord, hear us. Come to our aid. Come to our aid. Lord, we can't do anything in and of ourselves. We have prayer. We think of Jehoshaphat. He did that great company that came against him. He wasn't able to do anything bad, but his eyes were up unto thee, Lord. May our eyes be up unto thee against this great company that's come against us. Lord, do, Lord, hear us. Come to our aid. Come to our support. Stem the tide of iniquity, Lord. Use the virus to thy praise, thine honour and thy glory. We think of those that fear thee not, this sinner does. There's some in my own family that fear thee not, Lord. Work mightily while there is yet time, Lord. Open the eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf, that they might know that there's a God in heaven, ruling and overruling all things, an almighty God, and they might cry out, what must I do to be saved? It's personal, Lord. Make it personal, we pray. And grant, Lord, that if it's thy will, that once again and we might return to our causes of truth, the respective causes of those that are listening. Lord, we don't know who's listening, but thou knowest, Lord. They're all known to thee. Do, Lord, grant, Lord, that the restrictions that are upon us, if it's thy will, might be lifted, that we might once again gather in thy house to worship thee, Lord. Do, Lord, favour us with it in our houses of prayer. How we need prayer. Do, Lord, hear our prayers. Come to our aid. Come to our rescue, we pray. Be with each of thy servants this day. Though any of those that are resting from their labours this night, rest, who've laboured during the day, grant the signs following the preaching of the word. Those, Lord, that are labouring this night, Lord, do be with them. Uphold and strengthen and support them, Lord, in these unusual circumstances that we find ourselves in, Lord. We thank thee, Lord, that we have the means. We thank thee, Lord, that we have the internet and phones, Lord, that we're still able to gather ourselves around thy word. Lord, unable to gather together as thou knowest, but together in spirit. May we prove it, Lord. And do, Lord, use the means. Do, Lord, grant, Lord, that, well, thou art limited, Lord. We limit thee because we're finite creatures. Thou can use anything, Lord, and we would beseech thee thou would do so. Do, Lord, be with each, Lord, and do follow with thy blessing what's been attended to in the former part of the day. Do, Lord, forgive all our sins, all our transgressions, and all our shortcomings. Wash us in that precious sin-atoning blood. Make us acceptable in thy sight, we pray, Lord. Our sins are crimson, scarlet, oh, Lord, may they be whiter than snow, through a precious Christ. Apply that blood, Lord, to the lintel and doorpost of our hearts. Lord, we need it applied. Great sinners, chiefest of sinners, we've got a great Saviour, an almighty Saviour. May we, Lord, know thee more. Do, Lord, accept of our heart the gratitude for every mercy in providence and in grace. We have an abundance. Lord, we thank thee for the many provisions thou hast provided, the many comforts we enjoyed. And we think, Lord, of what the deacon at Swayze gave out this morning regarding the collections, how the FGEA and the, we were discussing with it here at home, Lord, and the conditions they have in other countries where, Lord, they have the lockdown or their equivalent, and how, Lord, they don't even have enough food. Oh, Lord, we've got so much. Through thy mercy, Lord, we don't deserve any. Lord, we take so much. Well, I take so much for granted, Lord. We'll leave others to talk for themselves. But, Lord, we would pray. We pray for thy people throughout the world. Grant them, Lord, thy presence. Those that suffer persecution, lessen the persecution if it is thy will. And if not, Lord, then grant them the greater grace, the grace of thy presence, that grace to persevere. And do, Lord, be with those that are in abject poverty. Those, Lord, that don't even know where the next meal's going to come from. Oh, Lord, thou knowest where they are. Thou knowest thy people. Do, Lord, be with them, uphold them and strengthen and support them. Provide all that they need. We pray. Do, Lord, be with us this evening. Help this poor sinner to speak a few things to thy praise, thine honour and thy glory. Thou knowest, Lord, the subject that I've laid upon the spirit of this sinner to attempt to speak of, Lord, and I feel so unable to do it. I feel so incompetent in doing it. I feel, Lord, to need thy help. Lord, three words. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I need it, Lord. I need the prayers of the people. I pray, Lord, that they're praying. That, Lord, we think of that one who was on the mount and how, Lord, when his arms were upheld, Israel prevailed. But when his arms were let down, Amalek prevailed. How those two were found either side, uplifting his arms. Lord, may the people be found uplifting my arms this night in prayer. I need it, Lord. The subject is a very deep subject, a very solemn subject, a very blessed subject. Oh, Lord, help me. Touch my lips with the live coal from off thine heavenly altar, Lord. And thou knowest that word again. I'll plead it, Lord, that thou gavest to me before I went for the church and thy servants that were at the church meeting, Lord. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it, Lord. I need it this night. I need it each time I speak, Lord. Thou knowest this sinner has been preaching for nearly a year now. It's nearly the anniversary of that year when he was sent out, Lord. I have proved. And to thy praise, thine honour and the glory. Prove, Lord, that, well, thou hast granted me that to speak in the hour of need. Lord, do so tonight, we pray. Do, Lord, open my mouth wide and fill it. Fill it with those wonderful things of the gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the risen Saviour, the exalted Saviour, the glorified Saviour. And may it all redound to thy praise, thine honour and thy glory. Lord, help me and help others to listen, Lord. Grant there might be the unity of the Spirit in all things, that they forgive the poverty of the preacher. May they lose sight of me. May they lose sight of the surroundings that we find ourselves in. And may we be shut in with a precious Christ. May he be everything, Lord. May our heart burn within us as thou commune with us in the way, Lord. May that be felt by each of us this night. May our hearts burn within us. We'd ask it all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 92. Number 92. Who is this fair one in distress that travels from this wilderness, oppressed with sorrows and with sins, on her beloved Lord she leans. Hymn number 92.
Oh,
and complete dependence upon the Lord. The words from the Holy Word of God that I trust have been laid upon my spirit for us to meditate upon this evening are very blessed words. As I said in my prayer, I feel my insufficiency, my inability to speak from them right. But may the Lord help me. The words that I trust have been laid upon my spirit, and they're words that, well, I've tried to beg the Lord that would give me other words. I pray that he would give me something else to bring this evening now, but no, he hasn't. So I venture. I must venture. For I feel that if I didn't venture on these words, I'd be a disobedient servant. The words that have been laid upon my spirit are found in the Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. And they can be found in the 39th verse. It's the first part of the 39th verse. Behold my hands and my feet. The whole verse reads, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. Behold my hands and my feet. This chapter that we read together from the Gospel according to Luke begins with those that went to the sepulchre, the women. They prepared that spices and ointments. They rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. And upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, see their diligence. They loved the Lord of life and glory. The first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre. You can read in the other Gospels the account how they came and how there was that stone. It says that they'd set the stone in front, and they came and said, who shall roll us away the stone? But the stone was gone, wasn't it? Rolled away. You can read in Matthew's Gospel of how there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. So they came with fears, came with doubt. Who's going to roll away the stone? And it was gone. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. A risen Saviour, an exalted Saviour. They came with doubts and fears. It's also recorded in the Word of God of that one that came. Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She loved the Lord. She loved him. She was weeping. She loved the Lord. She'd seen him. She'd been with him. And now he was crucified, laid in a sepulchre, laid in the grave. She wept tears. She thought he was the gardener. Then he revealed himself. Mary, Mary, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Well, a sacred, solemn subject, a blessed subject, this man. This man, the Son of God, the Son of God, co-equal, co-eternal with the Father and the Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity in unity, how he condescended, and he humbled himself, even unto the death of the cross. What humility he showed in being born of a woman, came into this sin-cursed earth. Our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly, made man, as our hymn writer says, came into this world, took into union with his divine union, a body like unto our own, sin accepted. This man, a precious Christ, verily God and verily man, this man came into this world, walked this sin-cursed earth for 30-odd years, suffered, bled, and died for sinners. He appeared. There are many resurrection appearances of our Lord of life and glory. You can read of them throughout the Gospels. And it says in the 1 Corinthians chapter 15 of the number of appearances that happen. Well, a risen Saviour. It's one of the fundamental beliefs of our Christian faith, isn't it? We believe in a triune God. We believe there is one God in heaven. Now, three distinct persons, but one God. A wonderful, profound mystery. But it's true. One God, three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Son came down here below to fulfill his Father's will, to suffer, bleed, and die for the elect, to suffer, bleed, and die for those who had no worthiness in and of themselves, for those who, sinners, for those that had cried out, give me Christ, or else I die. He came into this world, and what he suffered at the hands of cruel man, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. This was that man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. What does it say in Isaiah? A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our face from him. A blessed Saviour. He went about on this sin-cursed earth doing nothing but good. Nothing but good. Open the eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf, healed so many, withered hand, blind Bartimaeus, many others, raised from their dead. There was Jairus' daughter, the widow of Nain's son, and Lazarus. How he wept at Lazarus' grave, how he loved him. The Lord of life and glory, the love God showed, the love the Son showed, in walking this sin, he went about doing nothing but good, nothing worthy of death. Didn't Pilate say that? Well, what a lovely God, what a gracious God we've got. Yes, a consuming fire out of Christ. That he should choose a people. It's beyond my comprehension why he should choose a people. Sinners. Why he should choose them. Why he should, well, he knew exactly what they would be like. Knew exactly what sinners they were, but chose them. And a Saviour, a precious Saviour provided the covenant ordered in all things and sure. What a perfect Saviour. He's the only perfect man there ever has been or ever will be. This is the one who fulfilled the whole law in every jot and tittle, kept it in every aspect. We failed so much. I failed so much. Talking about this morning, wasn't it? Sin. And what sinners we are. What a mercy it is to know you're a sinner, to have your eyes open, to see your lost and ruined condition. That's really what I mentioned this morning, and I don't want to repeat it. But what a mercy it is to have our eyes opened and then to look to a precious Christ, to look to him as the sum and substance of our religion. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Look and live. What a mercy it is. A risen, exalted Saviour. He appeared many, many appearances, many infallible proofs, it says. He appeared to many in those days in which he walked before he was ascended up into glory. I was favoured a few weeks ago to listen to a service. I think it was on one of the bank holidays, or might have been a May bank holiday, I can't remember which. And we listened to Mr. Brian Mercer of Eastbourne, and he preached, I think it was the Horum special service, and he was particularly talking about the Acts. And what he went through was really, he was looking at the Acts and how it talks about the Lord being slain. Yes, we know he laid down his life to take it up again, but he was slain by wicked men. And what the dear servant of God did as he went through the Acts of the Apostles and was thinking of a number of examples in there and in each of the chapters, almost all each of the chapters, and he talked about the way in which in there it said, ye have slain. And that's led me to really reading the Acts of the Apostles and also reading a commentary on it, going through it. What about this time we've got at the moment with this plague? Redeem the time. How we have to be used this profitably. How some of us that have still got secular employment, we still have to work during the day. Of course we do. We have to do that diligently. But we don't have the journeys and so on for a number of us. How we should search the scriptures. And reading the Acts of the Apostles, it talks so much of the resurrection of our Lord, of life and glory. Just a few examples. In Acts chapter 1, the first Acts, it says in the third verse, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. The 11th verse, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go up, seen him go into heaven. In the second chapter, the 24th verse, it says, whom God hath raised up, being loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of death. The third chapter, the 15th, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And I could go on. The fourth chapter, the 33rd verse, the fifth chapter, the 30th verse. Read through the chapter. See how much the old servants of God preaching a risen Saviour. Risen. A risen Saviour. You can read about when Paul was in the presence of the council and how that was comprised of Sadducees and Pharisees, the so-called religious elite at that time, the Sanhedrin. They had far different beliefs. But what Paul said there, he said of the Pharisees and Sadducees, he divided them. Now, how did he accomplish that division? He talked about the resurrection of our Lord of life and glory. So, of course, the Pharisees, and Paul was brought up as a Pharisee at the feet of Gamaliel, a Hebrew of the Hebrew. He was brought up and he believed, they believe in the resurrection, but the Sadducees don't. How solemn to have a religion and not believe in a resurrected Christ. But how, read through the Acts and see how much it talks of a resurrected Saviour, an exalted Saviour. He is now in heaven, a glorified Saviour. What a fundamental truth to our religion. Jesus Christ left the realms of bliss, left his Father's bosom, that one who the Father so delighted in, came down to this sin-cursed earth, walked it for 30-odd years, had that agonies at his death, beyond our comprehension what the Lord of life and glory endured. Beyond our, this is the perfect one, the Son of God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He was sinless, did nothing wrong, nothing worthy of dead, being killed, nothing at all. A perfect man, the God-man, the Son of God, God the Son, as Sir Gerald Buss has mentioned. Well, our text, behold my hands and my feet, a risen Saviour. I lay down my life that I may take it again. Well, he did lay down his life. No man could take it from him. You can read in the Holy Word of God of how when they came to take him, how he said, I am he, and they all fell backwards. I am. What power is in those two words? I is the great I am. Is the I am that I am. He is the one that appeared to Moses in that burning bush. I am that I am. He could have called down 12 legions of angels to defeat those that came to arrest him, those that came to apprehend him. But no, no, they all fell backwards, but no, he endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Why? Because he loved his people. He loves his people. What a precious Saviour. The agonies that he endured. In Gethsemane's garden, how his sweat dropped, as it were, great drops of blood, and how the angel was sent to strengthen him, and how he suffered at the hands of cruel men. I think I remember when we heard Mr. Pocock at Swavesey, one of the recent services, he talked about those plowers. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. This is God, the Lord of life and glory. And how they plowed upon his back. How they scourged him. Scourged him. An agony with that whip, like a cat of nine tails. How they scourged his back. How those furrows were made. How his precious blood was brought forth. How they spat upon him. Spat upon him. Spat upon the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, spat upon God himself, the love of God to sinners. How they put that crown of thorns on his head. Thorns, of course, represent sin. Thorns didn't exist in this world before sin. How they're symptomatic of sin. How they were put on his head, forced down on his head, and his precious blood. How they smote him. How they tore the hair off his beard off. The love of God to sinners. How they nailed him to a cross. How he allowed men to do that to him. Nailed to a cross. You can read of that in John chapter 20. Nailed for a large number of the men that were crucified in the time of the Romans, they're actually tied to a cross. They didn't use nails, but for our Lord, the Lord of life and glory, they used nails. They put nails through his hands and his feet, nailed into a cross. This is the one, this is God, the creator and the sustainer of all life. He could have, and immediately, those that had done that to him, cast them into a never-ending eternity in hell. The twinkling of an eye had been just to have done it. But no. You may have heard the Lord's servant say before, I certainly have, how it wasn't the nails that kept the Lord on the cross. He could have come down from the cross in a moment. It wasn't the nails that kept him there. No, it was love. Love to his people. Greater love of no man than this, lay down his life for his friends. What love the Lord of life and glory has shown to his people by his sufferings. What he endured for them. What agonies he suffered. Agonies of body. Agonies of mind. What does our hymn writer say? His pangs of his body were great, but greater the pangs of his mind. How he suffered. What agonies he endured. It's hard really for us to imagine. It's hard for me to imagine the pain, the suffering that were put upon him. This is the sinless one. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. He was made a curse. Think of that. God himself, suffering, bleeding, dying for sinners. The one who'd never done anything wrong. One that never sinned, who has made sin for us. The Lord of life and glory. And then, of course, the hiding of his father's face. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, think upon it, friends. Think upon what he suffered and how we've got hard hearts, haven't we? I have, even if you haven't. Perhaps I'm preaching to myself tonight, not you. We've got hard hearts, friends. How we can read the holy word of God. How we can read of his passion. How we can read of what he suffered and it not affect us. How many times have you read it? Now, be honest. Be honest before God. How many times have you read it and it's done nothing to you? How many times have you read it and been untouched by it? Well, I'm talking to myself. Too many. Once is too many, isn't it? Once. The Lord of life and glory, God himself, co-equal. What he's with the Father and the Holy Spirit. What he suffered. Well, friends, and he didn't deserve it because he's perfect. He's holy, holy, holy. He, the sinless one, but he became sin for us, for his people. Behold my hands and my feet. Those hands that upheld the whole world. Is that him, isn't it, that refers to that? Those hands, those perfect hands, and those feet, those perfect feet, those feet that had walked this sin-cursed earth to which man had put nails, those nails that transfixed him to the cross. Behold my hands and my feet. Well, friends, you and I, of course, we're not there. Now, what about by faith? What about by faith? It says in Zechariah's prophecy, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. I've already quoted, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else. Look upon me, look unto me, look and live. Well, behold, what did Pilate say? What did Pilate say when he brought him out? Behold the man. Behold your king. Is he your king? Behold the man. Behold your king. They shall look upon him whom they have pierced. Behold my hands and my feet. What a blessed subject, friends. This is Lord, the Lord of life and glory, the immortal one. He's now in heaven, glorified, ascended Saviour. Behold my hands and my feet. Our articles of faith. I hope you read our articles of faith. Our 30th article of faith says this. We believe that the glorified body of the Lord Jesus Christ is the same flesh and bones now in heaven as that which hung upon the cross. Amazing, wonderful, isn't it really? The Lord of life and glory here appeared to those that he appeared in front of. Behold my hands and my feet. It was the same body that was nailed to a cross. Yes, it was laid in the grave for 3 days. Rose again. It's the same body. It's got the same marks in his hands and his feet. Behold my hands and my feet. And in heaven, he now is in heaven with the same body, the same marks in his hands and his feet that he suffered for his people. Behold my hands and my feet. It's a wonderful mystery, isn't it? That this is God. God himself took into union with his divine union, a body like unto our own, sin accepted. And it's the same body that's now in heaven at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. He appeared before he was ascended, before he was glorified. He appeared to many. And in this example that we've got here, behold my hands and my feet. It is I myself. It's me. When they first saw him, they were terrified. They were frightened. They were frightened, supposing that they'd seen a spirit. But what did he say to them? What a blessed, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? He knew. He knew why they were troubled. Knew what thoughts were arising in their hearts. He's omnipotent, isn't he? He knows everything. He knows everything about you. Knows everything about me. Knew everything about Thomas, didn't he? There was Thomas when the Lord of life and glory appeared to the disciples. Thomas wasn't there, of course, but he knew what Thomas had said. Behold, my hands and my side. What a wonderful God we've got. What love he shows to his people. The Lord of life and glory. Behold my hands and my feet. That chapter that we read in the book of the Revelation. The revelation to John on the Isle of Patmos. Some wonderful things in there. Wonderful things. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Read through it again. See the number of things that it says in there about the Lord of life and glory. How he was alive. How he was dead. And how he's alive again and is now in heaven. That one that John saw. That one, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were a flame of fire. His feet were like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice was the sound of many waters. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. and of the keys of hell and of death. What a comfort it is to the Lord's people that the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ is risen again. He kept the law, justified the law, made it honourable in every jot until he was raised from the dead by almighty power. Almighty power rose again by infallible proofs. He proved that he was the Son of God. He told his disciples what he would suffer, told them that he would rise again the third day. And he did, of course. He showed to them his heart, his hands and his feet. He fulfilled divine justice. Now, our God is a consuming fire. I mentioned that this morning. He cannot look upon a single sin in a single sinner with any degree of allowance. But this one, this perfect Saviour, the only Saviour, there is none others. He is the only Saviour, the only way by which a sinner can have a hope of eternal life, through him and him alone. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What a blessed thing that is. No man cometh unto him. No man cometh unto the Father apart from a precious Christ. Behold my hands and my feet. Wow. In the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'd just like to read a few verses from that. Starting at the 12th verse, it says this. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because he hath testified of God that he raised up Christ, who he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. And if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And it's really this verse that relied upon my spirit, thinking about a risen Saviour. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice, the Son of God, he fulfilled divine justice. He kept the law of God. He suffered, bled, and died for those who failed to keep the law of God. He is the perfect one, the just one, who knew no sin, never committed a sin, but he bore the sins of those great sinners, chiefest of sinners, the 500 pence debtors, those who know what sin is, those who know they need a precious Christ. He bore their sins in his own body. Through his sacrifice, we're made acceptable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. We, through his death, through his sufferings, through his resurrection, if we're numbered amongst his number, then we will be in heaven through what he has done. They shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. Well, let's be personal now. Let's turn it to you and I. Have you looked upon the Lord by faith? Have you been driven? No, drawn by those cords of love to the cross. Have you looked upon him by, behold my hands and my feet? Have you by faith beheld the man? Have you beheld your king? Have you looked upon him? Oh, it'll humble you, friends. It'll bring you right down. If you're brought to the cross to look upon a crucified Saviour, to look upon his hands and his feet, to see those marks that were made and those perfect hands and feet, to know that cruel man took the Lord of life and glory, nailed him to a cross, slain him, killed him. Cruel man did that. The Lord allowed cruel man to lay down my life that I may take it again. Yes, he permitted it because he loved sinners. He loves his people. Greater love of no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Well, friends, have you been drawn to look upon a precious Christ by faith? Have you looked by faith at his hands and his feet? Behold my hands and my feet. See the marks, friends. And I'm not talking about being fanciful. I'm not talking about just vain imagination. I'm talking about realities. Think about it. If you've looked at the large life, see the marks by faith. And then, friends, know that you did it. If you're amongst his people. Yes, cruel man nailed the Lord of life and glory to a cross. They put the nails in his hands and his feet. But you did it. If you're amongst his people, it was for your sins that he suffered, your sins that he had those agonies in Gethsemane's garden, your sins that made him be spat upon, your sins that made those furrows on his back, for your sins, friend. Don't it break your heart? Let me go back to what I said a little while ago, how we can read these truths. What's hard hearts we've got? We've got hearts of stone, haven't we? I have. How we can read this, and we should read it, should break our hearts, friends. We should read and we should be in tears. Whom seekest thou? Why weepest thou? Think of that one that came to the Lord of life and glory while he walked this sin-cursed earth, and how she wept. How she wept over her sins. Oh, how we should weep. How it should trouble us. How sin should be something exceeding sinful unto us. Why? Think of the cost that was paid. Think of these hands and these feet. Think of the nails that was driven into them. Behold the man. Behold your king. What's your desire? This is the Greeks of old. Sir, we would see Jesus. Is that your desire to see a precious Christ? Is that a desire to look upon him by faith? What about Simeon? Simeon. He looked upon that babe, didn't he? What did he say? Now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Now lettest thy servant depart according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Have you seen the Lord by faith? Have you looked upon him whom you have pierced? It's personal, isn't it? Real religion is something very personal. Something must be known and felt. It's not imagination. It's not something that we dream up or think about. No, it's personal. Taught by the Holy Spirit that we are sinners. Taught that there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. Nothing we can do, but there's nothing we need to do. But we need to believe in a precious Christ. If we're amongst his people, and I pray that each of you and I might prove to be amongst his people, then we will have that reality shown to us, revealed to us, that it was for my sins, for your sins, for our sins, for the sins of the whole election of grace, that those marks were made on his precious body, that those marks were made in his hands and feet. Behold my hands and my feet. What a precious truth it is, isn't it? Now, I hope you can see my fears about preaching tonight. I hope you can see how I was very concerned about the message to bring tonight. This is a very sacred, wonderful subject. The death and the resurrection of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. It's fundamental to a Christian's religion that we're found in a precious Christ, that we have that hope that we will follow after him. Where, because I live, ye shall live also. Jesus Christ, a risen, an ascended Saviour, a glorified Saviour, who is now at the right hand of God. He's there now, this very minute. He's there at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. What a mercy that is, friends. Our Saviour, the one who paid the price that you and I can't pay. It's too big a debt. You and I can't wipe out a single sin. If the rest of your lives you led a perfect life, and I know that's impossible. If you did nothing but good, It wouldn't make an atonement for a single sin, let alone all the sins that we've committed. No, our only hope is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, him crucified, risen again, that intercessor is in heaven now, the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Well, friends, do you know your sinnership? Back to this morning. Do you know that you're a sinner? What a mercy if you do. Do you know the only way of salvation? A precious Christ. There's nothing more important. There are many things in this world that people deem important. They deem finances important. Yes, and we should, of course, be diligent. We should be diligent in all we do. We should do it as unto the Lord. The word says that. We should be diligent in our calling. Yes, we know all that. But the most important thing is to have a personal revelation that you are amongst the Lord's people, that I'm amongst the Lord's people, that my name's in that Lamb's Book of Life, that my name, that your name, that all our names are graven on the palms of his hand. Ah, behold my hands and my feet. Oh, to see your name graven there. He suffered, bled and died for such. Nay, rose again for their justification through his death. We have that imputed righteousness that comes alone from a blessed Saviour, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What a mercy, friends. Behold my hands and my feet. He is in heaven now. What a mercy he is. Because if he wasn't there, friends, there'd be no hope for you and no hope for me. We would be in this life most miserable if there wasn't an ascended Saviour. If he wasn't in heaven now, that intercessor, he's in heaven now. He's a mediator. He's a mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. What a wonderful thing that there is that mediator in heaven. What a wonderful thing that he is now at the right hand of God. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. What a wonderful thing, isn't it? You and I need an intercessor. We can't approach unto God on our own, in and of ourselves. He would consume us in a moment, and we deserve it. But we have an intercessor. We have a mediator. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, that day's man, the one who stands between in garments dyed in blood, a precious Saviour, a mediator. You and I need a mediator, friends. We need one to stand between a holy, holy, holy God and we as sinners. What a man was provided, the God-man, verily God and verily man, the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus is in heaven now, sat at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. What a mercy, friends. They shall look on him whom they have pierced. What a blessed subject, friends. And I've felt to deal with it so poorly. Behold my hands and my feet. Oh, how we have to do that by faith. To look to a precious Christ. It's wonderful to look upon him by faith, to see him. And if that's your desire, if your desire is to look upon a precious Christ, to see those wounds in his hands and his feet, then, friends, when you get to heaven, when you're in heaven, that holy, holy, holy place, that perfect place, to see the ascended Saviour, that one at the right hand of God, to look upon those marks, oh, what a blessed place. What a blessed place heaven is. Not because it's the opposite to hell, and how we have to be very careful in our religion. The fear of hell will not get anyone to heaven. No, it's a precious Christ. Oh, our love. Oh, how short it comes. How short my love comes compared to his. I said it already, greater love of no man than this, and the man laid down his life for us. This is God, the love he showed. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold him by faith, that Lamb. The Lamb that was foretold in these scriptures, set forth in the Old Testament by that Paschal Lamb, the Lamb of God, that one without spot or blemish, a perfect Saviour for such imperfect sinners. Well, I can't leave this subject without thinking about baptism. This is, of course, the day of the month when we usually hold the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, when we partake of those emblems, the wine and the bread representing his precious blood, his body that was bruised for sinners. Some of us feel so unworthy to partake of those emblems, but baptism, it says in the second of Colossians chapter 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead, baptism. We enter, of course, into the water, total immersion, raised again. Our Lord of life and glory was laid in the sepulchre, rose again for our justification. We feel so unworthy, those that gather round his table, but we do it in remembrance of him. We remember his sufferings. We remember what he did, what his precious blood that was spilt. And we remember that he's ascended in heaven, a glorious saviour, an exalted saviour for sinners. Well, behold my hands and my feet. Well, friends, as you leave the services this night, may there be your desire, may it be my desire to see more of a precious Christ, to have that greater union and communion with him, to know beyond doubt, it's that fears again, isn't it? To know beyond doubt that he suffered, bled, died and rose again for me, for you, for each. What a mercy if it were so. But the Lord is sovereign, of course. He gave his life a ransom for many. Maybe amongst the many. Maybe amongst those that are called and see a precious Christ by faith. Behold, my hands and my feet. Amen.
The collections received during the past week amounted to £540, for which we're very thankful. God willing, tomorrow evening at 7:15, there'll be a prayer meeting for church members. And on Friday evening at 7:00, Mr. Richard Field is expected to preach, and also next Lord's Day at 10:30 and 6:30. And the collection and all the monies received during this coming week will be for the FGEA. Let us now close with hymn 982. 982. It is finished. Sinners hear it. 'Tis the dying victor's cry. It is finished. Angels bear it, bear the joyful truth on high. It is finished, tell it through the earth and sky. 982.
It is finished.
The 688th hymn in our handbook starts with these two verses. Ye that pass by, behold the man of griefs condemned for you, the Lamb of God for sinners slain, weeping to Calvary pursue. See there his temples crowned with thorns, his bleeding hands extended wide, his streaming feet transfixed and torn, the fountain gushing from his side. Well, two other verses. Read them at your leisure. Oh, what blessed truths are in the hymns that we sung this night, and that hymn. Behold the man. Great and almighty Lord God, what a subject for this poor sinner to try to speak about this night. Oh Lord, the death and resurrection of our glorious Saviour, our ascended Saviour, who is now in heaven. Oh Lord, forgive anything this poor sinner said amiss. Oh Lord, we come so short. I come so short in the things of God. Oh Lord, but may we each by faith see a precious Saviour, to look upon thee by faith. Oh Lord, may thee make these things living things unto us. Make them real things unto us, Lord. May we see thee, Lord, and may we be found amongst thy people, Lord, to look upon thee in heaven. What a place heaven is, to look upon the ascended, glorified Saviour, to look at those hands and those feet. And Lord, the question that we'll ask is, why me? Why am I here? Well, it's thy love, thy election. Nothing in and of ourselves, Lord, it's all of thee. Oh, Lord, may we be found amongst that number, Lord, who've come out of great tribulation and washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Lord, assure each of us of it. Forgive anything this poor sinner said amiss. Make up, Lord, in the many things we've certainly failed to say. We have to die to speak of Christ. Be with us, Lord. Keep us in the coming week. Be with the friends who persuade you when they gather during the week and on the Lord's Day. Lord, grant thy gracious presence. Do, Lord, be with them, Lord, in the unknown way. Do guide and direct aright. Be with those that've got responsibilities in the Church of God. Uphold and strengthen and support, we pray. Be with each. Forgive all our sins, all our transgressions. Make sin exceeding sinful unto us. Lord, may we think upon the price that was paid for sin. The Son of God, thou that will make sin exceeding sinful unto us. Lord, make sin a loathsome thing to us. May we run from it. Oh, Lord, forgive our sins. Wash us, Lord. Wash us in that precious blood. We'll ask it all for Jesus Christ's sake. And now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.